Hello, and welcome back to The Power of Now, a guide to spiritual enlightenment with Gilda and Barbara. We're doing a book study on this book written by Eckhart Tolle. We hope you have your copy so that you can follow along. Today we are on Chapter 9, Section 4. Beyond happiness and unhappiness, there is peace. Using and relinquishing negativity. My name is Barbara Wainwright, and I'm here with Gilda Simonet. Welcome, Gilda.
Thank you.
Using and relinquishing negativity. All inner resistance is experienced as negativity in one form or another. All negativity is resistance. In this context, the two words are almost synonymous. Negativity ranges from irritation or impatience to fierce anger, from a depressed mood or sullen resentment to suicidal despair. Sometimes the resistance triggers the emotional pain body, in which case, even a minor situation may produce intense negativity, such as anger, depression, or deep grief.
The ego believes that through negativity, it can manipulate reality and get what it wants. It believes that through it can attract a desirable condition or dissolve an undesirable one. A Course in Miracles rightly points out that whenever you are unhappy, there is the unconscious belief that the unhappiness buys you what you want. If you, the mind, do not believe that unhappiness works, why would you create it? The fact is, of course, that negativity does not work. Instead of attracting a desirable condition, it stops it from arising. Instead of dissolving an undesirable one, it keeps it in place. Its only useful function is that it strengthens the ego. And that is why the ego loves it.
That is such an interesting paragraph talking about the ego believes that through negativity, it can change reality. And it really couldn't be further from the truth because we know that what we focus on, where we put our attention, that gets amplified in our life. So if we focus on bad things happening, it seems like more bad things happen. If we focus on great outcomes, it seems like all of a sudden everything's flowing our way. So it's so interesting that the ego thinks that it can change reality by being upset. Sorry.
Right, it's like a false power.
Holy, oh my gosh. Once you have identified with some form of negativity, you do not want to let go. And on a deeply unconscious level, you do not want positive change. It would threaten your identity as a depressed, angry, or hard done by person. You will then ignore, deny, or sabotage the positive in your life. This is a common phenomenon. It is also insane. We concur. Oh my goodness.
Negativity is totally unnatural. It is a psychic pollutant, and there is a deep link between the poisoning and destruction of nature and the vast negativity that has accumulated in the collective human psyche. No other life form on the planet knows negativity, only humans. Just as no other life form violates and poisons the earth that sustains it. Have you ever seen an unhappy flower or a stressed oak tree? Have you come across a depressed dolphin? A frog that has a problem with self-esteem? A cat that cannot relax? Or a bird that carries hatred and resentment? The only animals that may occasionally experience something akin to negativity or show signs of neurotic behavior are those that live in close contact with humans. and so link into the human mind and its insanity.
Watch any plant or animal and let it teach you acceptance of what is. Surrender to the now. Let it teach you being. Let it teach you integrity, which means to be one, to be yourself, to be real. Let it teach you how to live and how to die, and how not to make living and dying into a problem.
I have lived with several Zen masters, all of them cats. Even ducks have taught me important spiritual lessons. Just watching them is a meditation. How peacefully they float along, at ease with themselves, totally present in the now. Dignified and perfect as only the mindless creature can be. Occasionally, however, two ducks will get into a fight, sometimes for no apparent reason, or because one duck has strayed into another's private space. The fight usually lasts only for a few seconds, and then the ducks separate, swim off in opposite directions, and vigorously flap their wings a few times. They then continue to swim on peacefully, as if the fight had never happened. When I observed that for the first time, I suddenly realized that by flapping their wings, they were releasing surplus energy, thus preventing it from becoming trapped in their body and turning into negativity. This is natural wisdom, and it is easy for them, because they do not have a mind that keeps the past alive unnecessarily and then builds an identity around it.
I love that story about the ducks. They just shake off what happened and move on like nothing happened. That is a great way to be, because it happened, it's over, it's in the past, there's nothing you can do about it. So you might as well move on and forget about it and focus on things that make you happy.
Yeah, I love that. They don't let it linger.
Right. A student asks, couldn't a negative emotion also contain an important message? For example, if I often feel depressed, it may be a signal that there is something wrong with my life, and it may force me to look at my life situation and make some changes. So I need to listen to what the emotion is telling me and not just dismiss it as negative. And Eckhart responds, yes, recurring negative emotions do sometimes contain a message, as do illnesses. But any change that you make, whether they have to do with your work, your relationships, or your surroundings, are ultimately only cosmetic, unless they arise out of a change in your level of consciousness. And as far as that is concerned, it can only mean one thing: becoming more present. When you have reached a certain degree of presence, you don't need negativity anymore to tell you what is needed in your life situation. But as long as negativity is there, use it. Use it as a kind of signal that reminds you to be more present.
The student asks, how do we stop negativity from arising? And how do we get rid of it once it is there? And Eckhart says, as I said, you stop it from arising by being fully present. But don't become discouraged. There are yet as few people on the planet who can sustain a state of continuous presence, although some are getting close to it. Soon, I believe, there will be many more.
Whenever you notice that some form of negativity has arisen within you, look on it not as a failure, but as a helpful signal that is telling you, wake up, get out of your mind, be present.
There is a novel by Aldous Huxley called Island, written in his later years when he became very interested in spiritual teachings. It tells the story of a man shipwrecked on a remote island, cut off from the rest of the world. This island contains a unique civilization. The unusual thing about it is that its inhabitants, unlike those of the rest of the world, are actually sane. The first thing that the man notices are the colorful parrots perched in the trees, and they seem to be constantly croaking the words, attention, here and now, attention, here and now. We later learn that the islanders taught them these words in order to be reminded continuously to stay present.
So whenever you feel negativity arising within you, whether caused by an external factor, a thought, or even nothing in particular that you are aware of, look on it as a voice saying, attention, here and now, wake up. Even the slightest irritation is significant and needs to be acknowledged and looked at. Otherwise, there will be a cumulative buildup of unobserved reactions. As I said before, you may be able to just drop it once you realize that you don't want to have this energy field inside you and that it serves no purpose. But then, make sure that you drop it completely. If you cannot drop it, just accept that it is there and take your attention into the feeling, as I pointed out earlier. So I just want to remind people that are listening that earlier, he said to focus all your attention on the feeling, breathe into it. And as you are focusing all your attention on it, it will eventually transmute through your presence.
I love that. It's so true, because I know sometimes I have a hard time really drawing attention to my feelings. But I've learned that if I put my hands like on my heart and start, I guess, focusing on that, it helps me to become more aware of the feelings that I'm feeling just by placing my hand on my heart or my chest.
Nice. Nice. That's a great technique for becoming present, for being conscious and present of what's happening in your body, acknowledging it, focusing your attention on it, and allowing it to transmute. Nice one.
Thank you.
Yeah.
As an alternative to dropping a negative reaction, you can make it disappear by imagining yourself becoming transparent to the external cause of the reaction. I recommend that you practice it with little, even trivial things first. Let's say that you are sitting quietly at home. Suddenly, there's a penetrating sound of a car alarm from across the street. Irritation arises. What is the purpose of the irritation? None whatsoever. Why did you create it? You didn't. The mind did. It was totally automatic, totally unconscious. Why did the mind create it? Because it holds the unconscious belief that its resistance, which you experience as negativity or unhappiness in some form, will somehow dissolve the undesirable condition. This, of course, is a delusion. The resistance that it creates, the irritation or anger in this case, is far more disturbing than the original cause that it is attempting to dissolve.
All this can be transformed into a spiritual practice. Feel yourself becoming transparent, as it were, without the solidity of a material body. Now allow the noise, or whatever causes that negative reaction, to pass right through you. It is no longer hitting a solid wall inside you. As I said, practice with little things first. The car alarm, the dog barking, the children screaming, the traffic jam. Instead of having a wall of resistance inside you that gets constantly and painfully hit by things that should not be happening, let everything pass through you.
Somebody says something to you that is rude or designed to hurt. Instead of going into unconscious reaction and negativity, such as attack, defense, or withdrawal, you let it pass right through you. Offer no resistance. It is as if there is nobody there to get hurt anymore. That is forgiveness. In this way, you become invulnerable. You can still tell that person that his or her behavior is unacceptable, if that is what you choose to do. But that person no longer has the power to control your inner state. You are then in your power, not in someone else's. Nor are you run by your mind. Whether it is a car alarm, a rude person, a flood, an earthquake, or the loss of all your possessions, the resistance mechanism is the same.
I love this paragraph. It is the key to serenity, to peace of mind, to peace of heart. If you are able to become transparent, as he says, and let things pass right through you and offer no resistance, then there's not, you won't get hurt anymore. Then there is no hurt for you anymore. You become invulnerable. I love that. A student says, I have been practicing meditation. I have been to workshops. I've read many books on spirituality. I try to be in a state of non-resistance, but if you ask me whether I have found true and lasting inner peace, my honest answer would have to be no. Why haven't I found it? What else can I do? And Eckhart responds, you are still seeking outside, and you cannot get out of the seeking mode. Maybe the next workshop will have the answer. Maybe that new technique. To you, I would say, don't look for peace. Don't look for any other state than the one you are in now. Otherwise, you will set up inner conflict and unconscious resistance. Forgive yourself for not being at peace. The moment you completely accept your non-peace becomes transmuted into peace. Anything you accept fully will get you there, will take you into peace. This is the miracle of surrender.
You may have heard the phrase, turn the other cheek, which a great teacher of enlightenment used 2,000 years ago. He was attempting to convey symbolically the secret of non-resistance and non-reaction. In this statement, as in all his others, he was concerned only with your inner reality, not with the outer conduct of your life.
You know the story of Bonzan? Before he became a great Zen master, he spent many years in the pursuit of enlightenment, but it eluded him. Then one day, he was walking in the marketplace. He overheard a conversation between a butcher and his customer. He said, give me the best piece of meat you have, said the customer. And the butcher replied, every piece of meat I have is the best. There is no piece of meat here that is not the best. Upon hearing this, Bonzan became enlightened.
I can see you're waiting for some explanation. When you accept what is, every piece of me, every moment is the best. That is enlightenment.
I love that. I agree. When you are in that state of bliss and just in a state of gratitude and grateful for everything that comes your way. And sometimes everything that comes your way might have a difficult thing in it, but it's okay because it's there for us to do what he says, transmute it so that we can move on or accept it and as what is and let it go and move on to the next thing. So I really love this section of the book where it's really about acceptance of what is, surrender to what is, getting into forgiveness of those that might, I don't know, try to get a reaction out of you, because people do. Sometimes people say things just to see how you're going to react. And you can react with calmness and peace and let them know that you don't care to be around them anymore. It's like, yeah, really neat. I'll be moving right along right now. Oh gosh. But it's excellent. It's an excellent way to live your life. Being in non-resistance of whatever it is that happens, letting it blow right through you and being at peace. And if something gets caught in your, kind of the way that I'm seeing this is like a chain link fence, and it, mostly the wind blows right through it. So situations can be blow right through you, like you're transparent. But sometimes a piece of paper comes along and it gets stuck on the fence, right? So there's the resistance. Now the paper, the fence is resisting that paper blowing right through. Well, that's resistance. That's what's going to cause you pain. So you have a choice. Let it blow right through you. See that paper turn into, you know, shredded and let it go through you. Or you can hold that piece of paper along the fence and let it be painful for you. Now, I think he says in here that that's insanity to hold on to that piece of paper or whatever and not let it blow through. At the same time, doesn't that make a whole lot of sense? Isn't it logical? Doesn't even your egoic mind go, you know what? That just makes a whole lot of sense to not let things bother me, because resistance to what is a form of insanity, because it is what it is. And if you resist it, what are you doing? You're building your ego. That's what you're doing.
I love that. That's such a good description with the fence. I love that.
Oh gosh, yeah. Well, when he said see yourself as transparent, I was having a little bit of a hard time with that, because I'm not transparent. I'm solid here, but I could see myself as a fence, and you know, the chain link fence would definitely let most things through. But sometimes, being a human being that we are, sometimes things hit the fence and don't let it through. And we have a choice to put our attention on it, focus on it, become present with it and have it transmute. Or we can go, dang it, that piece of paper just won't go through the fence, you know, get all upset about it. What would be the point of that? I don't understand, right?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Well, this is a really powerful section. I hope that you've taken some of this information in and that you are able to find peace beyond happiness and unhappiness, where he says there is peace, and talks about using and relinquishing negativity to get to the peace that surpasses all understanding.
I've also noticed that sometimes when you relinquish control over situations, that kind of gives you freedom in your own way, because you can't control everything.
Absolutely. We can. I try and think about, is there anything that I can control? Maybe myself, my behavior, my thoughts. I've certainly have spent a lot of time listening to, being the observer of, or as sometimes Eckhart says, the watcher of my thoughts. And I'm quick to change them when there's something that I think about that causes sadness. Why ruminate on sadness? Okay, for instance, I've had some very, very precious animals that have passed away, and it was a huge loss, and I missed them, and I still miss them. And if I think about them, I get sad. I don't think about, oh, look at all the fun we had. I think about, they're not here to enjoy this moment. And if I let my mind ruminate there, I can get so sad that I'm in tears. So is that a productive use of my time? Does it make sense to do that? Yes, grieving is important. I believe so too. But years later, does it really serve you? I don't know. I don't think so.
I know from experience that those thoughts do not serve me. So.
Yeah, I don't either. I mean, I do think it's important to grieve the loss of a person, a place, or a thing, or certainly animals that are dear to us. However, after a period of time, it doesn't make sense to ruminate on that to me. It just seems like it's taking you down, and it's the ego, you know? It's the ego going, taking you down a deep, deep, dark hole that you don't need to be in. You can let go of. In fact, I mean, he said he addresses it at the beginning of this chapter, saying your unhappiness, the ego thinks through the unhappiness or the sadness that it can control something. And of course you can't. I can't control that. There's birth and there's death, and that it is what it is. And he even talks about that with the ducks. The ducks don't care. They just shake it off and move along.
Right, like the ego thinks it can control everything, which is, I guess, why it does the things it does. But
There you go.
yeah, it doesn't really do anything, I guess, positive.
No, ego is about survival, in my opinion. It's about survival, keeping us alive. And I was thinking about that the other day, the subconscious mind. What is the job of the subconscious mind? It is to keep us alive. That's why our subconscious mind activates adrenaline when we need to run. Because it is, its job is to keep us alive. So our ego is very closely tied into that subconscious mind and the thinking that's in the subconscious mind that if I don't do X, Y, and Z, I could perish. I'll cease to exist. And I need to stay alive. So I need to go do these things. It's an interesting concept, the egoic mind. And the subconscious mind and how closely tied together they are in terms of survival. And it's almost like survival of the fittest, which makes everybody your enemy. Who wants to live like that?
Yeah, not me.
Yeah, no. Surely. Until next week, I hope you have a great one. Bye now.
Bye.
If you've enjoyed this podcast and you'd like to go deeper into a spiritual conversation, you can join our Facebook group, The Power of Now, A Guide to Spiritual Enlightenment with Gilda and Barbara. Or you can contribute by going to wainwrightglobal.com/go/support.